Dear Father, righteous, holy Father, please speak to your people, Lord, as only you can do. Please open our hearts and our spirits to receive what, through your Holy Spirit, you want to give to your beloved children. Let your kingdom come and your will be done to us, in us, and through us, as it is in heaven. May you receive all the glory and honor and praise that is due to your name, Father. And may we hear what is in your heart, what you sent to us in Yeshua's name, we receive in his name. Amen. One of the most strategic and important events that took place in the history of our faith, in the history of our relationship with Almighty God, took place in Egypt after a young man named Yosef had been sold into slavery by his brothers, virtually killed and removed from the family picture. If anybody ever had good reason to feel sorry for himself, it was him. If anybody ever had a reason to think, what about me? When do I get mine? Who's going to look after my needs? It was Joseph. And at that time, that very vulnerable time of his life, the Prince of Darkness dangled the most incredible temptation in front of him. And the reason why I bring it up is because it's exactly the same temptation that is being dangled in front of every believer, all of Christendom. The Prince of Darkness appears to Joseph in the form of Potiphar's wife. And through Potiphar's wife's lovely lips, he says to Joseph, come and lie with me, you who have so many needs, you who feel so alone and forsaken, you who have been so betrayed and so abused and so forsaken, come, lie with me. If Joseph would have given in to that, if he would have listened to that, the book of Genesis wouldn't have been finished, would it? It wouldn't have even been written, much less everything else. Well, it's pretty much the same when the same temptation is being dangled in front of every believer by the world, by the world culture and the world system and the world's distractions. Come and lie with me. And unfortunately, many believers have taken the world up on it. We have a plethora of gospels. For a plethora of consumers. And many Christians willing to cater to what the consumers want to hear. Telling them what pleases them. Instead of telling them the real gospel of Almighty God. So, the Lord's been laying that on my heart to share with a community of people that I believe has an incredibly important and strategic mission and commission given to it by God in this dreadful time, but this wonderfully exciting and time full of opportunities for those that believe and obey. A DOT is a strategic community, I'm convinced of it. Oh, it doesn't look like much today. You don't read about it in the papers. People just kind of ignore it. But the day is coming when the world is full of consumers, self-satisfied, self-righteous consumers, will not be the way they are today. Everything has begun to be shaken. Have you noticed? All the false gods of the world are being exposed and discredited. The covers are being pulled off, and their shameful nakedness is there for all to see. And if ever we needed people that knew the gospel and were ready to put it out there the way it really is, it's now. Because the stakes are enormous. One of the gospels that is very common today that people, if they're going to pay attention at all, they will probably listen to this one. God loves you. He loves you with an unconditional love. He'll accept you just the way you are. Be very careful with that one. That's another way of saying, come and lie with me. If it was true, then there would be absolutely nothing in the scriptures about God's judgment. There would be no reason to talk about sin or making mistakes, as the world likes to put it. And there would be no hell. So where did that come from? No, the real gospel, that Yeshua, the living word of God made flesh, and his apostles, what they spoke and what they preached and what they proclaimed got them killed. Evidently, it wasn't what the world wanted to hear, but it is what the world always needs to hear. They did not go around preaching a gospel of God's unconditional love. God loves you. Come and lie with me. Here's what it really says. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 to 19. This is the apostle Shaul, Paul, who was a great enemy of the gospel at the beginning because he had a false gospel. God loves the Jews unconditionally. And all you got to do is be one of those and do what they do and you're saved. Well, the gospel of Yeshua clashed with that big time. And so thinking he was serving God and being faithful to the traditions of Israel as they had developed over the centuries, he wanted to kill anybody that believed in Yeshua and purify Israel. But after God revealed himself to Shaul as he really is. It wasn't about how much God loves me. It was about how holy and righteous and awesome and pure and perfect this God is, and how it exposes what I am. After that, after being exposed on the road to Damascus, and after the Holy Spirit straightening his head out, this is what he wrote. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes and obeys. In Israel, belief isn't intellectual assent. In Israel, in the Hebrew context that God chose to reveal himself through, believe, oh, you believe? Okay, let me see you prove it by your obedience. It is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. To the Jew first. In other words, they needed to. God is one, the God of all. So he deals with all in one way, because they're all in the same boat. To the Jew first, also to the Greek, all the Gentiles, the same. So nobody's special in the sight of God. No matter who they are, or what kind of genes they have in them, or what their traditions may be. Nobody is special. Well, the people that all want to be special don't want to hear that, do they? How many people want to be special? All of them. No exception. As it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith, for the wrath of God, who? My unconditional love gospel doesn't talk about that. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them. What is known about God? God is infinitely, absolutely, and eternally perfect. And he does everything out of his nature, which is perfection. And when he has to judge people, his creatures, it is by that plumb line of his absolute perfection according to his nature. And he'll never deviate from that. And when you hold that plumb line against all the consumers of the world, I don't care who they are, what color they are, what race they come from, or what their religious traditions may be, they flunk compared to him. See, you don't compare yourself to other people. Well, I'm a Jew and they're Gentile dogs, bless God. I'm a man and they're women, bless God. I'm black and they're white, or I'm yellow and they're red. Mm-mm. I'm a Democrat, they're Republicans. I'm a Baptist, and they're not. I'm a Catholic. Put that plumb line up and see what's in their heart, and they flunk. Every one of them, without exception. We don't hear that kind of gospel, do we? Kind of gospel you hear, nobody's going to get killed over that. But it's kind of boring too, because look how many empty seats there are. Week after after week after week after week. What do we have to do to get people in? You want to get people to pack the place out? Give them the real gospel. The real plumb line of God will expose them like you can't believe and pierce them to the quick with truth that comes from the mouth of God. Romans 3:9-18. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin, as it is written, there is none righteous. Not even one. Well, how's that going to pan out when this perfect, infinite God, who always acts according to his nature, is going to call each one to give an account before him? How do you measure up to my perfect standards? Who will be able to stand on that day before him? And you know what many of them are going to say? Why didn't somebody tell me? That ain't what I heard. There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Who's special now? Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Does that describe our world? No fear of God before their eyes. Not because, oh, he's a boogeyman, but because he's so awesomely perfect and righteous and holy. Remember the prophet Isaiah in chapter 6? In the day that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And he told me how much he loved me and how special I am. Is that what he said? Is that what happened? No. What happened is I was exposed and blown away by who he is and his holiness and his perfection standing next to that. I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Oh, God, have mercy. That is what is contained in the gospel of salvation. The plumb line of Almighty God's infinite perfect nature. That never changes and makes no exceptions ever for anyone or anything. And when we are measured against that, it's over. We flunk. We don't have a chance. Everything has to be dealt with because God is perfect. His nature doesn't wink at sin and say, oh, well, there, that's all right. Never. Everything that's wrong, that doesn't match according to his nature, must be judged and dealt with. Every speck of it. Now, how are we doing against the plumb line? come and lie with me? Thank God Joseph didn't listen to that, right? Because Joseph was a prophetic revelation of one who was to come, the Messiah, Yeshua. That Satan did the same thing with him, didn't he? All this will I give you. The kingdoms of the earth, if you will just fall down and worship me. Same deal. But Joseph didn't do that. He remained true to God, unto salvation for many, including Israel. And Yeshua, he didn't listen either. He remained true to God, unto salvation for all of creation, including that invisible little speck hidden in the galaxies called Earth and whatever's crawling around on it. Salvation from what sin has made them to be. It isn't about what we do, it's what we are because of sin. And we were born into it. We didn't have a chance. It was done, it was settled before we were born. So how helpless is that? So if God had left it at that and dealt with us according to his perfect nature and justice and righteousness, what the gospel is telling us is we are all condemned and lost. I don't care who it is. See, but down deep inside, no matter how pious and religious and self-righteous we may come across sometimes to other people, even to ourselves, no matter how we look down our nose at other people, down deep, down deep, people that are lying in the gutter, people that are habituate the dens of iniquity, and even people that are dressed in their Saturday or Sunday best in the buildings, they call the church. Down deep inside, every one of us regrets things we have done. And down deep inside, we're sorry for things we know we should have done that we didn't. And we know that falls short of God's plumb line. And we wish we could be good. We wish we could be forgiven and cleansed and set free of all this. And the gospel, the real gospel says, you can be made good. Not by anything you do or any hoops you invent and then try to jump through. Not by any false god you fashion in your own image and likeness. But by the real God, because he is perfect. He is utterly righteous and holy. And everything he does is good and right and perfect according to his standards. Only he could do this, and he has. He has spoken his living, creative word and commissioned his word to become flesh and become one of us and to serve as our covenant representative, the Lamb of God, who so identifies with all of us sinners, that in his role as high priest and covenant representative, he has allowed God to take all the sin and guilt and corruption, all of the wickedness and evil, all of the lack and the limitations that do not meet his standards, and put them upon him. And because God has worked this through a covenant pattern, he can legally and justly deal with his son as if he was all the rest of us. And he has done it. And it is finished. And it is perfect. And God has received it and acclaimed it and acknowledged it by raising him from the dead. And he's here in his risen glory through the power of the Holy Spirit to exchange his life for your life. His track record for your track record. His perfection and innocence and purity for all of our filthiness. You can be made good. You can be made righteous. You can be set free. You can be right in the sight of God, even when he holds this plumb line before you. You can pass the judgment of such a perfect God if this is not unconditional. There are conditions. If you stop looking at yourself or the people around you that are just like you and this world system, and you listen to the word of God, the King and Lord of heaven and earth, who tells you, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Put your faith in his perfection and his track record, in what he has already done in your name. Avail yourself of it. You are naked, miserable, wretched, poor, and blind. Admit it. And come to the living word of God, the Messiah. For he must increase, and everything else must decrease. And in him, only in him and only by him, can salvation and right standing with Almighty God be achieved. It doesn't matter if you don't like it. It doesn't matter if it's unpleasant. It doesn't matter. God really does love you so much that he gave his only begotten Son to do this, even while you were his enemies. And so the real heart of the gospel isn't John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and blah, 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 blah. That gets lost with people that are, you know, when I was an enemy of God, I really loved myself. And if I'd have heard that gospel, if I'd have been willing to hear it, which I wasn't, and they would have said, "God loves you. Hey, that God's pretty smart. He's pretty wise. He can see it. I'm special. Now he's here to help me even be better than I already am." Huh? Wrong gospel. Wrong gospel. It took him revealing himself to me in a way that was very, very intensely personal. And I was like a cockroach in the middle of the night when a strobe light goes on. You can't find a hole fast enough to run into. You are not special. You are not pretty good. It doesn't matter if you're Jewish or Gentile. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. It doesn't matter. If you have listened to the call of the serpent, "Come and lie with me," even once, you're toast. Because God is perfect. See? So we don't have any choice. There is no other way except by God's mercy and grace and compassion and what he did to his Son in order to set us free. And he did it perfectly because he's perfect. And it is finished. So it's time for everybody to get off their high horse and stop playing their roles and their phony positions and hiding behind their false religious fronts. It is time for all of us to come before God the living, perfect, righteous God, and said, oh, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your lamb. Thank you for loving us that much. I'll take it. I need it. I can't do without it. I must have Yeshua, the risen Lord, the Lamb of God. See, that's a pretty narrow gate. Only Yeshua and nothing else. Only what he's already done and nothing I'm going to do or the way I'm going to do it. Narrow gate. Enter through the narrow gate. But there's also a narrow path that follows. It isn't say the magic prayer and you're saved forever and you don't have to change. No. Enter through the narrow gate because the living word of God, who has all authority in heaven and on earth, is saying to those that enter, follow me. And I will take you through this narrow gate, through this, along this narrow path. There are no demonic minefields on this path. On either side, look out. But if you follow me through this path, it leads to eternal life. And those who persevere will be saved. So it's quite a lifestyle, too. And every time there's one of those, every time there's an Abel, the Cains of this world hate them. They're jealous, envious of what they have that they don't have. And they can't stand it, so they want to kill them. And if that doesn't work, then they'll figure out a way, get some false, beautiful false front and say, come and lie with me. Anything to get them off of the narrow path that leads to life and back onto that 7 million lane highway that leads to hell. All roads do not lead to God. All roads save one lead to hell, according to the real gospel of salvation. Yeshua publicly never talked about the love of God. He saved his love conversations for private conversations. But when they were in public proclaiming the gospel, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, brood of vipers. Oh, what kind of PR is that, huh? Maybe this be why he told his disciples in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, do not give what is holy to dogs. Do not cast your pearl before swine. They will blaspheme and disgrace the love of God in their sinfulness and their blindness. Tell them what they need to hear and tell them the way it is according to God's plumb line. And then they'll get a clue later on about how much God loved them by sending his son to save them. They'll put two and two together. Scripture, as I said, emphasizes righteousness and God's absolute perfection and purity and holiness. Because when you see that, we're exposed automatically. And then everything follows right in its proper sequence. But if we don't let them see that, and we give them something that tickles their ears, they're not going to get it, and their blood will be on our hands. So we like to say John 3:16. We hold up that sign at football games, but it's what comes after that they need to hear. John 3:17 to 21 says this. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world. That comes later. But that the world might be saved through him, because it really needs it. It can't be saved any other way but through him. That's why he sent him. He who believes in him is not judged. See, your covenant representative, he has so identified with you that he became our sin and was blasted for it. That's how much he identified with each one of us already. And if you identify with him to that degree, then you become his righteousness. But it's never going to be in you. Never by anything you do or stop doing. There is nothing you have actually done or failed to do that will keep you from heaven. But there's also nothing you can do to get yourself in. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world of darkness. And men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light, just like Cain, and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. They think they could get away with everything in the dark. They're not going to get away with anything, because the light was going to invade their space sooner or later. Better that he does it now than later. But he who practices the truth comes to the light. I practice the truth. I know what I am. I know I don't have a chance. I know I'm not going to measure up to God's plumb line. And I operate by the truth that I've got to have the light in order to be saved. See? He comes out of that and runs to the light, because it's such good news. And it's a clear, accurate picture of God's love for us. The love that does not wink at sin, but has to deal with it one way or the other. God help the poor people that for one reason or another back away from it and reject it. God. You can't even say, God have mercy, because he already did have mercy. And they refused it. How many people are out there right now? Consumers that think, you know, that church thing doesn't do it for me. That's probably because that church thing doesn't teach them the truth. Wouldn't do it for anybody. But if they knew the truth, everyone that's in here would have 7,000 people to deal with and disciple. Desperate people to say, tell me, what do I need to do to be saved? We wouldn't be able to handle them from here. No set of elders or pastors would be able to handle it. You wouldn't even be able to fit them in our buildings or our parking lots. If they knew the truth, it would set them free. But lies put everyone in chains. People don't think they need to be saved. They think they're pretty good the way they are. That's why churchianity doesn't do anything for them. it's better to go to Lincoln for a football game or something. Something good, you know? Something important. Because I don't need to be saved. I'm already good enough. So I guess I'll accept the invitation to lie with Potiphar's wife. Dear Heavenly Father, I do not call you loving Father, even though you are. I call you righteous Father, because that is what your beloved Son called you. Righteous Father. And we are in awe of your greatness and your glory. We are in awe of your holiness and purity. And we are in awe that you have found a way to cover our shameful nakedness, to cleanse our filthiness, to deliver us from ourselves, and cover us with the righteousness of your precious Lamb, Yeshua. Glory to your holy name, for there is none worthy of glory, praise, and honor but you. Lord, by your power of your Holy Spirit, would you please transform us all the way? Please take us all the way across the finish line of the narrow path. And every step of the way, Lord, make us vessels of honor and glory and light for the benefit of our human brothers and sisters that do not know you yet. Lord, speak through our lips. Reach out through our flesh. Reveal yourself through our actions, reactions, and interactions, thoughts, words, and deeds, so that people may see you instead of a bunch of religious hacks that are blowing hot air, majoring in minor things, and avoiding the one and only thing that is necessary. In Yeshua's name we ask it, and we receive it from you, Father, to your eternal praise and glory, and to the everlasting good of your beloved human beings. Amen.